When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Hey, thanks, Jim. We have a truly special conversation on the program today as I'm joined by a man I deeply admire for his vulnerability, perseverance, and unwavering faith, Granger Smith. For over 20 years, Granger built a successful career as a country music singer and songwriter, but he made the decision to step away and pursue full-time ministry after he and his wife Amber endured a heartbreaking loss that changed their lives forever. Granger joins me backstage at our recent Ignite Men's Impact Weekend to share his journey through grief and the truths that sustained him in his darkest moments. I know his story will touch your heart just as it has touched mine. Let's go there now. Granger Smith, our friend, hey, thank you so much for joining us today.
Man, it's good to be here with you guys.
It's been an incredible day here at our Ignite Men's Impact Weekend, Thomas Hurd Baptist Church, Lynchburg, Virginia. 5,000 dudes just packing this place out, hungry to see the move of God in their own lives, in their marriages, in their families. Mm. But Granger, we've seen it all over the country. We've seen it all over the globe. You saw it today. God placed a specific message on your heart to convict and pierce the hearts of men, and God was drawing men to himself. Share with us just up front why these gatherings are so important and the message that you were able to present to these guys.
Yeah, that's interesting because I was thinking, I love spiritual disciplines because it's so impactful. Paul tells Timothy, train yourself for godliness. And so what if we could get in front of a bunch of men are, we're just wired to want to train. It's like, okay, God, I'll do it. Just tell me what to do. Tell me how to do this whole thing. And so I typically will think about spiritual disciplines when it comes to talking to men, train yourself for godliness. But the more I think through spiritual disciplines themselves, which are, you know, meditating on his word, seeking seclusion, fasting, praying, gathering with his people, all of those things come secondary to reading or being engaged with his word, because that's the one spiritual discipline that if you remove that, you can't have a good prayer life. You can't meditate on his word. You can't memorize scripture. There is, the gathering is always gathering around the preaching of the word. So today was just an exhortation to men, You got to get in the Word. You got to know who He is, because through knowing Him is trusting Him, and trusting is having faith. So someone who says, I have no faith or weak faith, I say, no, you have weak knowledge of who God is.
Yes, it is interesting. You know, Granger, I want to go on a journey here for a moment, because we're talking about disciplines, right? Mm-hmm. I view you as somebody who is very disciplined, because to be good at anything, right, I think of that rule of 100, right? 18 minutes a day, if you discipline yourself, you're better than 95% of the human population at that chosen discipline. When it mm-hmm. came to music, right, you were disciplining yourself, and you had this music career going in country music. Mm-hmm. I want to rewind. I want to go back to those days here for a second. Then I want to get to the heart of the matter here. What was that time of your life like? Country music, traveling the country. What was that season like for you?
Yeah, you know, that answer might be different than some people sometimes expect, because you hear from, you know, celebrities that, you know, I was searching for something that just wasn't quite there, or I felt an emptiness, you know, a God-sized hole in my heart. And I can't tell you any of that. My answer is, on June 4th, 2019, I was happy. Things were good. You know, marriage was good. I was loving life. I was living the dream, something I always wanted to do. I was a Christian, called myself a Christian. Didn't really attend church. It was too difficult. I was traveling too much. I wasn't really reading my Bible that much, but I had a good share of devotionals. And I was really into self-help, really into it. Like I was controlling my own destiny by kind of like what you said. I could get up early and win the day. And I had all the disciples that I was listening to, you know, that Ed Milet, and he knows this, by the way, I've told him. But, you know, guys like that, like Tony Robbins, you know, I could really get into those apostles of that religion. I'm using religious language on purpose on that, because I look back in hindsight and go, oh, I thought I was in control. I thought I was manipulating my life and building and planning my way. And it was that day that the Lord turned my head, put a hook in my mouth. That's the day we lost my little boy, River.
Granger, take us to that moment, because Mike Tyson put it this way: everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. There are moments in our lives that they wake us up, they send us to the canvas of the ring we call life, and grief and loss, and I mean, just navigating all of this. I work as a counselor in the mental health space full time, and so it's something that I walk alongside of people every day. But man, I tell you what, that is a hard process. It's not instantaneous. Take us back to how deep and dark and difficult that day really was.
Yeah, and as you know, it was that day plus,
yes,
you know, many, many months.
Yes.
And I remember thinking right before we lost River, enjoy this moment because it won't last forever. And I was in the backyard with all three kids. We were barefoot in the grass, early June's beautiful time in Texas, blue sky, you know, white puffy clouds. It's like, man, we got it made. We've got it made. And the next thing I thought was, it's quiet. Where's River? And I was doing gymnastics with my daughter. She was doing a little routine, and I remember holding her ankles, and she was doing a handstand, and I looked over my left shoulder, and there he was in the pool, inside the gate. We don't know how he got in there, but he was floating face down. And I just, you know, went into denial. My brain couldn't compute. It really still can't understand what was happening. And I was unpacking this the other day with my brothers, because we lost our dad 11 years ago this week. And so when you unpack death, the more you think about death, the more you realize you can't understand it, because we weren't created for death. We weren't created for sin. And so sin is an abnormality of the fallen nature of man, all dating all the way back to Adam. So we can't understand how a life could stop existing. So our brains just does this loop, and it comes back with the spinning wheel of death, really, like in our the computer in our heads. I did CPR. I pulled him out of the water. We called 911. Followed him to the hospital. They got his heartbeat back, the EMTs. So we thought, okay, you know, we really dodged a bullet here. This was crazy. What a crazy day. But the longer it went on, within about 24 hours, the doctors came in and said that he has all his organs and his heart beating, but his brain's gone. Went too long without oxygen. There's nothing we could do. 0% chance of him surviving. So now you and Amber need to go decide when we're going to unplug this machine. It's like, wait, what? You know, just a few hours ago, I was playing with him, and now I have to go decide when to unplug the machine and when he takes his last breath. I get to decide that? So Amber and I, we went out to this little serenity garden at the hospital. And I remember that's the first time we kind of got a break from the machines and the beeps and the family and friends. And we knew times are about to get really dark. We knew that in that moment. In fact, we made a little agreement right there in that garden that we're going to stick together because this is where people get divorced. So we did like the most unromantic agreement in that moment, said, let's do this, even when it gets really hard, and it will. And then things did get dark, you know. We had to decide when to go back to work. I ended up going back on tour about 3 weeks later, partly to get away from the house, wanted to get out of the house, partly to get the family to come with me, partly because I just needed to pay bills, you know. I was going broke with all the whole tour in the month of June sitting still and 14 guys on salary. So went back out, put on a smile, felt a little bit better that I was able to talk to some people on the road that might have been going through some kind of grief or heartache, and I could have sympathy for them and sit there and talk to them. But then realized that, you know, as I leaned further into self-help and trying to help other people, that I was slowly dying. And that the cultural Christianity that I had relied on my whole life was actually a false Christianity all along. I had no freedom in Christ. In those moments, and still today, it was the sovereignty of God that was one of the first things that started breaking through. And then it was the love of God. And those two things are never separate. But it's the Almighty, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, sovereign, meaning almighty over every molecule in the universe. And then it's the love of God that's intimate, close, relational, listening, understanding, compassionate. And those two things worked out. That's our God. Putting that together, the sovereignty of God, he was there. He knows, working all things for his good, for his glory. And then it was the love of God that came after that when I realized, and he loves me. And what in the world do I have to worry about? And when those two things came together, everything changed. I have an all-powerful, all-knowing God that loves me in a relational way. Then I have nothing to worry about.
Granger, I'm thinking about, you know, just people that I've sat across from in counseling sessions that have dealt with just grave brokenness. And it's been like, I can't even imagine the depths of the pain that they've experienced. But I can think back and draw back to a time and an experience in my life when things were really low for me personally. And I remember, you know, the Lord just kind of imprinting on my heart, Zach, and in the absence of clarity, there's an invitation to intimacy with me. Mm. Like when you don't have those answers, I'm the answer. You know what I mean? Like, I am it. That's it. Yeah. I am the great I am. How does that person begin to take a step and to begin to actually experience the freedom that can only be found in Christ?
A lot of times I'll do a Q&A after I speak, and it's not worth my time or yours or anyone's to coddle people or to be sweet and nice. And so when that question comes up, The answer, I know the answer is, you don't know him.
Mm.
Because if you knew him, you wouldn't say, I can't forgive you, or I'm mad at you, God. I'm not saying that those emotions are not real, and those feelings are not. I validate that those feelings are real, and I understand it, but they are always a result of you don't know him. And so the journey has to begin to learn who he is. In fact, I had this discussion today with someone here in this building that has been struggling for 24 years. It's like similar to John 5. He lost his daughter 24 years ago. And it was from murder. And he sat down with me. Well, he talked to me, and I said, "Let's. We got to sit down. This is more than just a stand-up conversation. We got to sit down." But what was revealed was he could not forgive the person that took his daughter's life. And so he's like, "Yeah, I do the church thing. Yeah, I've tried to read the Bible. I don't read the Bible. I tried to. I've done that. Granger, I've done everything." I said, "But have you forgiven that man?" "I can't." I said, "No. Peter says that his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, of Christ, who has called us to his own glory and excellence." So he's not asking you to do something you can't do. We serve a God who went to the cross after living a perfect life for our sins. And as the nails were driven into his hands and his feet, he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And so I said to that guy, I said, "To you," he says, "you can forgive. But not because I tell you to, but because I did it. And I made your heart." And he was like, I said, "Brother, the distance from God, the John 5 man that's trying to get down into the bubbly pool, when Jesus says, take up your mat and walk, that it's always a matter of obedience that's holding you back, which is sin. It's a matter of sin always. And your disobedience is you're not willing to forgive when the Lord has given you the power to do it. And there is incredible freedom on the other side of that obedience."
Something that my dad always tells me is what a blessing we have, and he doesn't believe God finds any greater joy than using people, men like me, to be conduits or vessels through which God channels his message of hope, encouragement, forgiveness, grace to a dark and a hurting world and a dark and a hurting people.
Yes.
And so as you're now stepping more so into the local church role.
Yes.
Like you are walking now alongside of, using the depths of the pain that you've experienced to better step into the ministry for which God has called you to. Granger, speak to just the people fuel, right? The power of people and why we need each other in this race, especially when we talk about spiritual disciplines, but especially as we navigate hardship and difficulty that's inevitable in this life.
Yeah, what you're describing is the church. That's how we gather. That's how Christians are relational to each other. And according to the New Testament, if you play that out, it's the church, many of them. Thousands, millions of them in all different towns and villages. We are relational creatures. We are gathering creatures. You don't have to be a Christian to know that we gather in tribes. We gather in groups. We always have. We walk life together in groups. And really, it wasn't until recent history when we started kind of breaking out of that and becoming our own thing. And like, you know, the internet has perpetuated that. We can kind of disappear in our own lives, and it's absolutely killing us. I started realizing that I wasn't gifted in certain areas. One was as I got out into ministry and started traveling. This is actually a little bit of an example. Today is a little bit of an example. And it's nothing on Ignite. It's all on me. I get here, and my heart starts to break for the conversations I have, like the guy I was talking to. And then I'll get on a plane today, and I'll go home, and I'll remember him, and I'll say, "Oh, Lord, you have to use his pastor. You have to use whoever his overseer is to continue this conversation that I started with him. And I can't do that." And then my heart begins to break. But I've realized it's not a bad thing. I'm just not equipped in a way to be able to evangelize and walk away like some men can very well. I'm better suited to stay and walk the journey in the local church. That way, I could have a hard conversation with a guy and say, "Okay, how about next Tuesday, 3:00, coffee?"
That's that investment process. Because I think about like what you're saying, Granger, like an event like this weekend at Ignite, guys can come in, right? Chains can be broken. We can experience freedom. And then we get this spiritual high.
Yeah.
But then we go back, right? And like you said, even in the midst of that grieving season, like then you had to go back to work and you had to go back on tour and like life just doesn't slow down.
Yeah.
The stressors, the pressures,
yeah,
they come right back. So we have to be involved. We have to be surrounding ourselves. When guys leave here, our prayer is like just like you, that they find their local church, that they get involved, that they get plugged in, and that God uses other men, like-minded men, to mentor and to disciple and to help them in that spiritual formation journey. That's all it's about.
Amen.
That's all it's about. You know, Granger, as we wrap up our time together, I always love to leave our guest with just an opportunity to share kind of a final word that God has placed on their heart. And who I'm thinking about is to the man or woman listening today who just finds himself in a season of despair. They're struggling, you know? They love God, they go to church, they try to do the spiritual disciplines as frequently as possible. But man, this is a tough, tough season, Granger.
Yeah.
What's a final word of hope and encouragement and motivation you want to leave that individual with today?
Yeah, I'll try to give a quick answer to what it has to be a long answer. But depending on the season, sometimes we're just in a season of waiting. Meditating through the Psalms is actually excellent for something like this. Psalm 130 is an excellent psalm to just meditate through, among many other psalms, where you see the psalmist in a season of waiting or despair or in the depths, and then grounding all these feelings in what we know about who God is. Sometimes when we're in the storm, we're in a hurricane, all we do is board up the windows, we lock the doors, and we just wait. That's the hardest thing for a human to understand, but the Bible calls, many times, the Bible calls us, wait for the Lord. Wait for the, and we go, well, how long, you know? Well, that's a good question. The psalmist asked it many times, how long, O Lord? How long will you hide your face from me? So repeat those, read the Psalms and pray it along with David or whoever the psalmist is. Pray it along with him. Call out, how long, O Lord? How long will you hide your face from me? And one day, and it always happens, the season will change. The storm will disappear. You could open up the windows, and then you can go out and start tending your garden again. But right now, if you're in a season of waiting, wait for the Lord.
Wes, in waiting, like you said, it's not only a passive process. It's an active one. I think of Romans 5, right? That we can glory in our sufferings because suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. What God is doing in and through us, how he's developing us in the midst of this time, in the midst of this season, that's where his fruit is being produced in and through our lives. Granger Smith, my friend, where can our audience go to find out more about you, to get connected to you? Obviously, you have a heart for people. How can they get plugged in with what God's doing through your life?
All things are Granger Smith, my name, Granger Smith, whether it's social media or YouTube or even my website, grangersmith.com.
I love it. And how about Yee Yee? What about that?
Where can they go for
that? Yee Yee.com. So many of you may be asking, what is Yee Yee.com? Well, it's a new lifestyle apparel website run by Granger and his brothers. Just go to YEE.com for cool faith and freedom apparel. Well, my friends, that's our time together today. I hope you were moved by the heart of Granger Smith, maybe some of his pain and grief, and the way he has tried turning unthinkable circumstances into uplifting outcomes has resonated with you. If it has, please share this program with your friends. Until next time, on behalf of my dad and co-host, he's my best friend, Dr. Tim Clinton, this is Zach Clinton saying thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center, it's just life-altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. a lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, A Place of Hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, A Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, A Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.